Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Yes, Monday once again. Thank you for joining us this evening. Michael Cohen, producer James Platy on 1320 WILS. On today's program, a 10-year-old boy might be forced by the state of Michigan to undergo cancer treatments against the wishes of his parents who say he's healthy. We'll get the details of this troubling story. And the Lansing City Council is set to vote on the budget very soon, but are they getting all the information from the Bernero administration to make informed decisions? I'll ask council member Carol Wood. But first, East Lansing Democratic State Representative Mark Meadows holding a press conference this morning to highlight what's called green to gold legislation, which provides business capital for clean tech startups. But where will the money come from? And are Republicans expressing support for the initiative? To talk about that and a lot more, Representative Meadows joins me now. Mark, thanks for coming on the program this evening.
Anytime. Nice to be here.
Well, business capital for startups, isn't that something that the Michigan Economic Development Corporation should be introducing?
Well, you know, actually they'll be administering it. It's really a program that would take existing federal funding that's available and put it into a revolving loan fund that would be administered through the strategic fund of the state of Michigan. So we're not creating something separate from the governmental, structure that we have right now. What we're doing is we're providing it in a more targeted manner to what are developing technological industries in the state of Michigan related to clean energy and improving.
So you said it's federal funds. Federal funds that are available. How much is it? And I mean, there should be no argument against it, right?
Well, again, I can't ever say that there's never an argument against anything. So no matter how good it sounds, I would say that, we're probably going to expect some people who would like to see this money go out without any strings attached, which is how it has been distributed in the past. So it's the money received from the federal government for assisting manufacturing businesses in retooling, expanding and production of clean energy products, advanced transportation products, and specific to sustainable energy practices. And we have businesses in the state of Michigan who are taking advantage of this right now. We believe that if we provide these revolving funds to entrepreneurs who are trying to engage in these industries, but capital is still very hard to come by, we can become the center.
So
become the center for these type of manufacturing operations.
You're saying the money is currently, though, being used by state businesses. How much money is it exactly?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I can't give you an answer to the exact amount of money that is coming in from the federal government, but because they're in their budget process right now as well. But money has been provided in the past to some of these industries as sort of a subsidy. This legislation would also require that there be a job creation component to this, and if companies didn't meet the job creation component, you know, the interest rate could be raised or the loan could be declared in default. So in the past, we've been criticized, the state has been, mm-hmm. on some of their programs, their business-friendly programs, because we don't really monitor the number of jobs created, and we don't take action when the businesses don't really meet the criteria that we've established. So this is very strict. It's a very strict program. It's not going to give away any money. The money has to be repaid, but it does provide capital to businesses as they begin to create and expand.
Well,
and
it sounds, though, the businesses that are now using this money are now going to be under new guidelines and regulations. I can't imagine Republicans are going to be very interested in pursuing this.
No, I don't think that there's new guidelines or regulations. I think that instead of a giveaway, now it is something that can actually have some standards by which we can measure whether it's being successful. And again, if we provide this startup money to small businesses that are starting in the state of Michigan, entrepreneurs who are engaging in these enterprises, then we can become the center of manufacturing in these products. You know, like ethanol, you can start up an ethanol plant in any cornfield across the United States. If Michigan becomes leader in this area, then in the 21st century, we'll be creating jobs that will be and there will be no need to create these manufacturing operations in other parts of the country.
So is this grant money or are these loans? How is the federal government giving out this money?
This money is basically being passed out as grants from the federal government at this point in time, and we're trying to capture it through this legislation and use it as loans to businesses. Some of the businesses that would qualify here probably have never gotten grants in the past, but we would like to use the money to provide an incentive in this state to start up these businesses and continue.
But
for existing businesses to expand their operations. You know, Doubting Industries in East Lansing is a leader in this field, and if we can help them expand, it can only benefit the people of the state of Michigan.
I mean, if we're giving out loans, those startups, certainly we're going to see a large percentage of them folding, right? I mean, most of these businesses that are trying to get off the ground do not succeed.
Well, you know, I mean, there are standards for loans as well. I mean, we're not talking about just handing out money. We're trying to set standards, and the strategic fund would set the standards by which the company would come in, a business plan, all of the things that are necessary in order to establish a loan program, even with private banking. But private banking has not had the capital available to do this, and this would provide a way for the state of Michigan to get these businesses up and going.
I'm talking to Democratic State Representative Mark Meadows of East Lansing. Mark, you're a very astute observer of what happens here in the Capitol, and I do wonder, what is happening in the House this year? Are Republicans operating in a different way than last year when it comes to including you and other Democrats in their plans?
Well, no, I would say that is not the case. I think things have been not what I would call the most bipartisan in nature since the beginning of last year. I know there was a lot of talk about the bipartisan nature, and having said this, I have to tell you that, you know, I think about 80 or 90% of the laws that are passed in the state of Michigan are passed almost unanimously. Although in the areas in which there are differences of opinion philosophically, I think on both sides of the aisle, we've not seen very much interaction between the Republicans and Democrats on the House floor. I don't think we've seen that in the Senate either.
You're saying 80% of the legislation goes through in a bipartisan basis, right? I mean, that would reflect that on the whole that Republicans are working with Democrats in a fair manner then.
Well, I'm not talking about an issue of fairness. I'm saying that they pass almost unanimously. That doesn't mean we were ever consulted about the bills. It just happens that, you know, we're not going to vote against stuff just because we haven't been consulted on it. If it's a good idea, it's a good idea. And that's not bipartisan. Bipartisan means that you take an issue and both sides sit down and they develop a compromise way of establishing a piece of legislation that both sides can agree on. That has not been happening, I can tell you that. And also,
yeah, but why don't Democrats in the sense then vote against? I mean, they don't need your vote typically to pass this legislation. Why not vote against it to reflect the lack of coordination?
I don't think we were sent here to do that. You know, I think that would be so stupid. We're not here to just be obstructionists. We're here to promote ideas that we think are important to the constituencies which we represent. So just voting against something, I guess, to prove a point, doesn't seem to me to be the reason anybody is sent to the legislature.
Let me ask you about this legislation to expand cyber schools, which barely got through the House just by two votes. I'm guessing what Democrats voted against it as a group. How did that get through? Give me the dynamics of how this kind of a bill barely squeezes by.
Well, you know, I think there was problems on both sides of the aisle, obviously, with the concept of cyber schools, which is an unproven way of educating children. And when it came down to the vote, actually, I think it might have passed by only one vote. If it's two votes, I'm a little surprised, because I think Dale Zorn finally capitulated. He had kept his name off the board for a lengthy period of time. He's a former teacher. And, you know, you could see people back there sort of twisting his arm. The lieutenant governor came down the aisle, and the next thing you know, Dale put up the yes vote that actually carried it over the top. But I think that this is one of those issues where you can see that there is a clear division as to why we would proceed in this manner. These type of schools, cyber schools, We're actually an experiment that was commenced in the last session. I think we established two schools in the state to see if they would work, and particularly if they would work for those kids who might be going to alternative schools, didn't prosper in a traditional school environment, and we wanted to give them an opportunity, even though they may be dropouts and other people, but to actually get their high school diploma. Now it's expanded exponentially.
Well, it's over a dozen schools initially. That's not, compared to two for the entire state, shouldn't we at least allow for a few more than two?
Well, it doesn't actually do that, though. It's 12 schools, and I actually thought it was 15, with 30,000 potential students. Now, those are 30,000 students because this is one of those programs that actually carries the money away from traditional brick-and-mortar private school, public school. And the problem with the bill is actually much larger than that. There's a time period in which, if it is kept under 2% of the state pupil enrollment, that the cap is off. And we believe that, frankly, that if that cap, if they do stay under 2% of the public school enrollees, then in 2018, they could each enroll 10,000 students for a total of 150,000 students. If you multiply that by about 7,000 bucks, the average amount of school funding, you're talking about a stripping out of traditional public schools an unbelievable amount of money. At the same time that we have no way of proving that this is actually working.
Just a minute left, Mark. Unfortunately, so I'll have to just jump to the Hail Mary here. The House elections this year. What kind of a public reaction do you expect to see? Is it fair to predict that Republicans will easily hold the majority?
I don't know if it is or not. I would say that probably the opposite is true. That if you look at the way the state has functioned in the past and you look at voting patterns, there should be a very high Democratic turnout in this election. And in 2010, we had just the opposite. We actually had a reduction in Democratic turnout. We had no increase, actually, in Republican turnout in 2010, but we had about 500,000 Democrats who didn't show up at the polls. So if they show back up, we may see a swing back the other way. I think it may be a little bit too early to tell exactly what's going to happen among the electorate. I think as the presidential campaign starts to heat up, we'll be able to see more and more, and probably by the middle of the summer, we can evaluate what our expectations would be in November in terms of either regaining control of the House or retaining control of the House, depending on what side you're sitting on.
Indeed. State Representative Mark Meadows of East Lansing. Mark, once again, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Anytime. Have a great night.
Hey, we'll be right back to talk about this 10-year-old boy. He might be forced to undergo a cancer treatment. His parents don't want that to happen. The state says, oh, that is what's going to happen. We'll find out how it's going to break down next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.